Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to LFC Midweek Prayer Gathering and Teaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've had an awesome time together on the worship as it came forth on Sunday for Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to just have some worship music to continue in that vein. Awesome. We are in the period of awe at God. Hallelujah.
When I consider the vastness of God and all of the marvelous attractions that His hands have made, flowers and birds and oceans and mountains, truly God is an awesome wonder.
You are an awesome
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are an awesome wonder, and we stand in awe of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. So worthy are you to be praised. My God, my God. And so we're going to start our afternoon, evening time off together with our September. Our September prayer and declaration. We're locating it now so that we can share it. Do you have yours? We should come together with this prayer and declaration because this is something that daily we should be putting within our spirit and in our minds and in our hearts by reciting it, by declaring it, by reading it every day. And the enemy wants to make it where we can't get it, but we definitely will be able to share our August, our September prayer and declaration. Time is going so fast. Months are going by, and this month is almost over. Such a glorious time we had together. We thank God for that. We thank God for that, Jesus. We also want to remember the prayer dedication from the beginning of the year as well, because we don't want to lose sight of these things that the Lord has spoken over us. And as they come to us, we want to release them back in the atmosphere because God is worthy. So our September prayer and declaration is from the name of God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of the harvest, from 1 Samuel 1 and 3, and from Matthew 3 and 8, Matthew 9 and 38. And we decree September will be a month of seed time and harvest. We pray the Isaac principle according to Genesis 26, 12 through 13, Amplified Bible. Isaac planted seed in that land as a farmer and reaped in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted. And the Lord blessed and favored him. And the man Isaac became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and extremely distinguished. We decree in the midst of a famine, this pandemic, God is releasing a hundredfold harvest on the financial seed, the faith seed, the favor seed that we sow into his kingdom. We plant with the expectation of a suddenly, quickly, and immediate harvest coming to our household. We confess Jehovah Sabaoth, the God, Lord of the army, the Lord of the harvest, is watching over and blessing our seed. We release bold faith into the realm of the Spirit and receive a kingdom harvest according to Matthew 9 and 38. We prayed to the Lord of the harvest, and he has sent out heavenly agents for a distinguished harvest for the month of September, We believe the harvest is springing forth, and to spring forth means to move quickly forward, upward, to release or be released from a forced position by elastic, to leap or jump over, to rise suddenly, to happen or cause to happen unexpectedly, to spring a surprise, to come into being or appear suddenly. We decree our seed will have a spring forth harvest in the month of September in the name of Jesus. And the scripture from the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessing may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, because God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work, charity. What a powerful, powerful verse. And we are now going to release the remainder of the service and session into the hands of our ambassadorial prophet, Prophet Michael Henderson. Good evening, Prophet.
Good evening, Overseer. Thank you for opening us up with our September that prayer and declaration. We pray that you are making that confession and you are looking with anticipation to see the manifestation of that declaration in your life and the life of your family and those who you are connected to. And in the spirit of your own influence, we do continue to decree and declare a harvest to spring forth and manifest over your life in an immediate and sudden way as you trust God for the seeds that you have sown, as you have made confessions that all grace will abound towards you, that you will have all sufficiency in all things and all at all times. And so we've also been declaring that you would just begin to arise and shine, because you recognize the greatness of the Lord has risen upon you, that even in the midst of dark places, God will cover you and his light will shine among you. And so we pray that you are living in the full manifestation of that prophetic declaration as we are entering into the year of 5871, our year of amazement, as we are in awe of all the things that God is doing and all the things that he has done for us. And so we encourage you to continue to sow, as the Lord began to decree and declare on Sunday that you were both in a seed time and harvest season. So while you are planting seed, your harvest is coming forth. And as you are enjoying your harvest, we continue to encourage you to sow your seed, because your seed is going to exceed even your need, and it is planted for the need of others. So we pray that you are ready to be a part of today's conversation. And as we continue to have conversation and look at these prophetic oils that has been released over our lives, as we are getting this clear prophetic picture of why for such a time as this that God is releasing it And as we make this prophetic transformation and transition to this biblical Hebrew year, so we propose 5 W's of prophetic oil that we encourage you to have some intimate time with yourself and with the Lord and answer and then share with us so that we can maturate with one another's revelation. You know, the difference between information and revelation is information informs you, revelation reveals you, and it grows you up. It brings you into that divine place. And so we want you to know that when you share the revelatory experiences that you are having with the Lord, it is again a seed planted in us that allow us to await a harvest to come and what that revelation will look like. That's what Jesus did. He said he revealed gifts to the church, and those gifts, as we know them, are the fivefold gifting: the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, pastor, and the evangelist. And as a result, those gifts reveal brings perfection to the church. It brings us into unity. And so it is that same concept when you begin to share your revelation with us as a body of believers. So those questions was, number one, what does this oil mean to you? And you have the liberty to choose. Number two, where in the Bible you see the meaning, description of this oil. Number three, who in the Bible, a biblical person, you see this oil on? And then number four, when in your life, past, present, and future, do you see the manifestation or the use of this oil? And then five, why do you believe this oil was released, declared over your life, especially for such a time as this? So I believe your phones are off mute, and anyone who would like to begin to open the conversation with those oars, we want to give you that opportunity at this time.
Okay, Prophet, you may want to just continue reiterating what the homework is. Can you give us an example of where that oil was for you?
good way of asking the teacher to do it. I can do y'all homework for y'all.
Oh, thank you, Prophet. Oh, God bless you.
I love it.
You do it so well. But really, maybe after you do it, then, you know.
Somebody be on the line.
Okay. We'll have
it. Right?
Then somebody
will
be on the line.
Okay, just hit it, Prophet.
Yes. All right. So excellent. Thank you. where my good old Pastor Rogers at? That always bailed me out.
I don't know. So we don't hear you back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not yet.
All right. Not yet.
Not yet. So now what oil are we focusing on today?
So we looked at the oil of gladness, we talked about the oil of joy, and then today we want to look at the oil of praise. And the oil of praise is for deliverance, prison doors opening, victory, and distraction and destruction of your enemies. And so our scriptures is Psalms 150. Yes, Psalms 150, Acts 16, Judges 20 and 8, and then 2 Chronicles 20:22-24. So we want to look at the oil of praise, and we're going to look at it through the lens of, number one, deliverance. We're going to look at it through prison doors opening, and then the victory and distraction and destruction of our enemies. The passage of scriptures that we will look at are very familiar passages of scriptures. And so I want us to just look at it through this lens of that oil being released and also oil being produced. And so understanding what it means for the oil to be released over our lives, but also what it looks like for that oil to be produced as a result of a process or as a result of us finding ourselves in a circumstances, whether it is divine, set up, orchestrated by heaven, whether heaven has stepped in because the plans and tactics of the enemy, or whether it is even can be produced as a result of what's going on inside of us. So I want to look at Acts 16. We'll start there, and we do know that particular passage of scripture that is the Paul and Silas scripture. And we're going to look at it through the voice version of the Bible. I appreciate some of the twists, the words that is released out of that particular version. And we're going to start at Acts 16, start at verse 25, and then we will probably go all the way down to verse 35. So it will be heavy in scripture, but I think that it can produce good conversation. So Acts 16, starting at verse 25, reads out of the voice version, picture this, it's midnight. In the darkness of their cell, Paul and Silas, after surviving the severe beating, aren't moaning and groaning. They're praying and praising, singing hymns to God. The prisoners in adjoining cells are wide awake, listening to them pray and sing. Suddenly, the ground began to shake, and the prison foundations began to crack. You can hear the sound of jangling chains and the squeak of cell doors opening. Every prisoner realizes that his chains have come unfastened. The jailer wakes up and runs into the jail. His heart sinks as he sees the doors have swung open. He is sure his prisoners have escaped, and he knew this would mean death for him. So he pulls out his sword to commit suicide. At that moment, Paul sees what is happening and shouts out at the top of his lungs, "Wait, man, wait. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. None of us have escaped." The jailer sends his assistant to get some torches and rushes into the cell of Paul and Silas. He falls on his knees before them, trembling. Then he brings them outside. "Gentlemen, please tell me, what must I do to be liberated?" "Just believe. Believe in the ultimate King, Jesus, and not only will you be rescued, but your household will as well." The jailer brings them into his home, and they have long conversation with the man and the family. Paul and Silas explain the message of Jesus to them all. The man washes their wounds and feeds them. Then they baptize the man and his family. The night ends with Paul and Silas in the jailer's home, sharing a meal together, the whole family rejoicing that they have come to faith in God.
Amen.
I know. That's just a good scripture, right?
It is.
Just a really good scripture. I think the way that the message described the story is very powerful and phenomenal. And I think that it's just a good scripture.
It
didn't leave anything out. It really did. So let's go back a little bit and point out some very important, I think, parts as it relates to when we look at the oil of praise as it is for deliverance, prison doors opening. It is for victory and destruction of our enemies. And even looking at, I want us to look at this lens of destruction of our enemies from a different perspective, because we clearly see that in this case, that jailer was a enemy, sort of say. But let's see how that enemy was, for the most part, destroyed from a different perspective. Not he was destroyed from the place that he was saved. So that enemy's life was changed. And so that's one of the lens that I want us to look at, because when we look at two different kind of passages of scriptures, we see that in Second Chronicles, those enemies was destroyed as relates to not having salvation, but this enemy life was turned around, and not just this enemy, not just this particular person, but his entire household. And so I think that's a powerful lens to approach praise from, to see the power of what praise does and the power of how praise is released in the earth. And so the scripture said that it was midnight. The King James Version talks about how Paul and Silas was put in these inner cells. So technically they wasn't. So today it will almost be what we call
solitary,
or the hole. They said the street name is they in a hole. So they in a hole. So Paul and Silas are in the hole. The scripture said that this was after this surviving this severe beating, and they're not in there moaning and groaning. They're in there praying and praising and singing hymns to God. I just think that that is so powerful, you know, to think that that was their position. Their position was to not moan or groan, because we do understand that they were unjustly beaten, but they did not moan and groan. And instead, they decided to pray. They decided to praise. They decide to sing hymns to God. And the prisoners in the adjoining cells are wide awake listening to them pray and singing. And so I think I like how the scripture identified that it was this midnight as if it was bedtime. And we see that from the perspective of the jailer, who should have been guarding but was also sleeping. And the prisoners are awake. Are they awake because they're not tired, or are they awake because there was something about the sound of this praying, something about the sound of this singing that awakened them, that kept them woke? And I think that that is just such a prophetic lens for us to see as we look at praise, even from a corporate perspective and an individual perspective. There should be something about the sound of our prayer and our praise that flows from us individually, but also flows from us corporately, that begins to awaken things, that begins to awaken individuals, that begin to awaken nations and cities and communities. It awoke them so that these were individuals who were in prison for a reason. And when they had an opportunity to escape, when they realized that the ground began to shake, their chains were jangling and unfastened, their prison, their cell doors began to open. It was one thing if their cell doors were open and they were still fastened, but here they have this unfastening of their chains and also their cell doors opening, and they did not have a mindset to escape and get away. They were captivated. They were drawn to this sound of prayer. They were drawn to this sound of praise. They were drawn to this singing of hymns that awakened them and caused them to be grounded and centered in that place. What was it about the foundation that was shaking, that shook their foundation? And the scripture said that the jailer began to wake. He began to run into the jail. His heart sinks because when he saw the doors open, he knew that the prisoners had escaped. And as a result, he understood, according to the voice version, that this will mean death for him. And at that moment, he was ready to commit suicide. Paul could have not said nothing and encouraged him after being severe beatly, and so did all the other jailers, because we don't know what the state of how this jailer treated these prisoners. But Paul even then began to make a declaration for him not to harm himself. He said, "We are all here. None of us escape." And then now this jailer has this awakening, or as we talk about, as it relates to the oil of praise, this destruction. His life is now is about to change. The trajectory of who he is about to change, and that is the power of praise. That is the power of praying. That is the power of the oil of praise as it is released. And then he began to ask this question. He realized that they were liberated, and they were liberated in a place of prison. He said, "Please tell me what must I do?" And we know the King James Version says to be saved. The voice says that he asks, "What must I do to be liberated? You know, what must I do to see this kind of manifestation, see this kind of change take place in my house, in my life?" And then he took even a bigger risk. He brought them to his home. He pulled them out of jail, brought them to his home, washed their wounds, fed them, and as a result, he was baptized and his family. And the scripture said the night ended with Paul and Silas and the jailer at his home sharing a meal together, and the whole family praising that they had come to faith in God. Wow, what such a powerful thought. What is such a powerful principle as we look at the oil, the power behind praise, the power behind what happens when praise is released from us. And when we talk about that word praise has this Hebrew concept of angelic agents, assistance being released. It is not just a natural thing. It is also a very spiritual thing. Praise can be contributed to not just a shout, but to a sound that is released that brings these octave waves. They bring these waves in the realm of the spirit that create, that could not just bring these waves, but these waves that begin to create things that is needed. And we see that this praise created salvation. This praise created change. This praise created freedom. This praise created liberation. Anybody else? Overseer, you want to share something?
Well, you know, when you were first sharing at the beginning of the scripture, how the praise caused the guards' hearts to change. And I was reminded of how we forget that instead of, you know, praying our enemy dead and such, that if we just honor God, that honoring God will reveal their true heart. So they were still the same men, but they were exposed to something new and different, and it changed them. You know, and so often we don't want to expose people, you know, the bad guy, you know, he's a bad guy and whatever. You know, we're not going to be praising around him. You know, more than likely you will be, you know, complaining about him or what, even praying, you know, that the Lord will remove him or any such thing or make him stop hurting me. But they didn't, because they didn't do any of that, and they just talked to God through their pain, it caused them then to be able, or even for us in looking at the situation, to realize there may be those out there that would have been liberated from their evil thoughts, ways, and mindset if we had just been praising. You know, and so as a result, we tend to take it as I'm being persecuted. You know, well, they would have agreed. Well, yeah, you are, because you're in jail, and the boss said to do this, so we did it. You know, but the fact that we did what we only knew to do, and you did something in response to us that's different from what other prisoners could do or have done, I'm sure, because I'm sure none of them, you know, were, you know, after being beat and that sort of thing thrown in the hole of the hole, had anything good to say about anybody, let alone have a joy for something, anything. So that thing that they showed that joy for had to have transformed them, because it's like, wait a minute, do all that I know that they should be suffering and they're not? Well, then that's an attention getter. And also, but I think what it showed me was, if we're quicker to just praise God, no matter where the situation is, then it is what will cause someone else, like in this situation, to be saved. And if we don't have to tell them the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the path to salvation, and, you know, the whole thing, but just if our hearts are in a place where we are just always honoring God in our circumstances, then we can see people then the way God sees them. Because God knew what was in them. But I'm sure nobody else did or took time to or whatever. They had a job to do. They went to work every day. That's just the way it was. That's what they dealt with. You know, it's like, oh, but what? You mean there's something different? There's something more. And you can hear hearsay. You know, I heard about, you know, this Jesus. I heard about these men going through and da-da-da-da-da. But to see the result of Jesus in the men is what caused them to say, wow. And then they were transformed, and I'm not going to say into disciples, but into disciples of Christ, because they decided to be, you know, followers of Christ. So how many times have our enemy would have had the opportunity to be a follower of Christ if we had just been praising? Instead of, you know, we usually do around them. And I think that sound you kept saying about the other prisoners, and I'm sure they have heard groanings, and, you know, when you're in jail, it's kind of like you're in a maternity ward. Everybody hollering, screaming, doing all kinds of things. But the thing that gets your attention is a different sound or a silence. No more screams are silent. You know, so now it's not a scream, it's a song. You know, it's not cursing. It's something else that's very positive. Even if they don't know what it is, they know that the spirit in it is totally different. But I'm sure what the spirit in those prisons were. So it was that midnight thing, and I was reminded of the different prayer watches and the fact that what happens at 12 o'clock, these spirits are released. So this was that high spiritual demonic warfare time. Well, they was getting ready to go and go forth in their strategy for destruction. And they were shut down. Mm. They were shut down before they got out of the door. They were just shut down. Shut down to the point where not only could they not go out, they were defeated. You know, so they couldn't go to work. They no longer had a job there because that changed the whole, you know, so it is an importance of the time we pray and the focus of our prayers and understanding what's going on in the spirit realm when we are praying and praising. And so how that really just shut them down before they even got started, and it brought total victory for Christ, for everybody that was in there. You know, and that's what our prayers and praise is supposed to do. So, Apostle.
I thought it was interesting that during their time of praise, while they changed their perspective, it left them in the same place. So they no longer needed to leave because emotionally they were already free. And so their praise changed their perspective and clearly became contagious for the other ones, but it ended up becoming contagious for them. While their praise had an impact on their perspective, the impact of them not leaving caused other people to want to take their life. But had they left, it would have caused them to want to take their life. But because they didn't and stayed in bondage, it saved their life. And so sometimes it's not for us to change our posture or our position, but for us to remain there so that other people can be changed by our posture and our position.
Amen. Amen. That good, good insight. Thank you, Overseer and Apostle. I think that is so very key to look at, and just even reading over that 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., I think it is even just a confirmation even more of what Apostle has shared, because I think when we look at prison doors opening, for me, my position would be it's time for me to get up out of here, you know, physically, not my perspective, but that prayer watch time is a time of spiritual warfare, but more importantly, it is a time for the will of God to be released. And so this is a period to pray for God's provision to be released. It is also a time for miracles and for applying the blood of Jesus. And I think I always saw the miracle as the prison doors open, but I like how Apostle just gave us another revelatory lens. The miracle was that their perspective changed. You know, they had changed whether they was going to live out whatever that sentence was, you know, until they saw the judge the next morning and he gave his sentence. It did not matter because the miracle wasn't just that the door was open, because that was a miracle. It definitely was. It wasn't just that the chains was unfastened miraculously, but Paul and Silas had changed. Prayer and praise changed them. And so they did not see themselves through the lens of the severe beating. They saw themselves through the lens of the prayer and the praise that had been released over their lives. And it never stopped Paul from fulfilling his mission. You know, his mission was to the very person, to that Gentile jailer, you know, to that individual. It was
there. And so I believe that that gives you the perspective of Paul that says all things work together for your good, you know. And they did not free themselves. The jailer freed them. The very person who put them in was the very person who took them out. And so I think that that is just such a very powerful perspective to look at. Thank you. Man. Let's look at Second Chronicles, and let's read it out of the Voice version as well. When we talk about the oil of praise for deliverance, prison doors opening, victory and distraction and destruction of our enemies, that was Acts 16. Another one of our scriptures is Second Chronicles 20. 22-24, and I will again read it out of the Voice version of the Bible. I am going to start at verse number 18, which again is verse 15, which is again a very familiar passage of scripture, but I do like the descriptive path that the Voice took in sharing the particular incident in this particular situation. So verse 15, Jael says, "Listen to me, all Judah citizens," I think is a key word, "of Jerusalem and the king of Jehoshaphat. The Eternal has responded to your pleading. Do not fear or worry about this army. The battle is not yours to fight. It is the true God's. Tomorrow they will travel through the ascent of Zed. Meet them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jerel. There I will be watching. Stand and watch, but do not fight this battle. There you will watch the Eternal save you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or worry. Tomorrow, face the army and trust the Eternal One is with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head low, and all the assembly fell prostrate before the Eternal and worshiped him with reverence. They trust the Lord completely. Meanwhile, the Levite families of the Kohites and the Korites stood up to praise the Eternal One, the true God of Israel, with very loud voices. Early the next morning, they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. There, Jehoshaphat's message to Judah was not about courage in battle. "Jehoshaphat, listen to me, Judah, inhabitation of Jerusalem. Trust in the Eternal One, your true God, not in your own abilities, and you will be supported. Put your trust in his words that you heard through the prophets, and we will succeed." Having addressed his people, Jehoshaphat asked, "Who sang to the Eternal to lead the army and praise?" Jehoshaphat asked those who sang to the Eternal to lead the army and praise his magnificent holiness. The chorus they were singing was, "Give thanks to the Eternal One because his loyal love is forever." And as they sang and as they praised, as they shouted loud and louder, the Eternal One was ready to cause great confusion and battle for the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir in Edom who had come to attack Judah. They were utterly defeated, turning on one another. The Amorites and the Moabites attacked the men from Mount Sinai, destroying them completely. Then the Ammonites and the Ammonites turned on each other. When all was quiet, Judah looked out of the watchtower in the wilderness and saw a great army of corpses fallen on the battlefield. No one had escaped. Then Jehoshaphat and his people took various goods, clothing, and valuables off the dead bodies and seized the abundant livestock. There was so much that it took 3 days to recover it all. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, which they had blessed the Eternal, and where he had blessed them with a victory, and named that place the Valley of Barak, as it is still known today. Amen. Another good verse, right? Another good verse.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that the voice version identified them as citizens. You know, they were citizens of Jerusalem. And when I read that, the first thought that just came to my mind was, you know, that citizens helped identify who they were. And so we say it so loosely, you know, that, you know, we are a king's kid. You know, I'm a child of God. I am Abba Father. But more importantly, I also just didn't see a father. I saw the loyalty and the obligation of a king to protect his citizens. And so we know that we serve the King of Kings, and he is definitely do what he do out of love, but he is also loyal to his kingdom and to the individuals in his kingdom as the citizens. And he took what would have been a battle. Here you had three nations that were joining together. So Judah and Jerusalem were already overpowered. They specifically, when you look at the historical aspect of it, these three nations came together, one for size strength. They needed all three in order, if they were just going to do a battle, line it up, to be able to defeat Jerusalem, to be able to defeat Judah and Jerusalem. So they needed them so that they could physically outnumber them and then physically outpower them. And so these three nations come together to do battle, and then they get in the battlefield and they turn on themselves. You know, and I know I've read it before, but when I was just reading it again to see how it says that sound of prayer, that sound of praise that was being released, that was happening in the atmosphere, began to, when we look at this Second Chronicles 20, it's 20, and we started at verse 17. Second Chronicles 20, we started at verse 15. I'm sorry, Second Chronicles 20 started at verse 15, and we read it out of the voice version. These three armies had to come together, and then when they got on the field to go to attack, you know, their plan, when these three nations come together, they get there, and the scripture says that they start fighting each other. You know, their praise, it brought great confusion that all of a sudden the man from Ammon start fighting the Moab. And then they begin to attack Judah, and to the point that they utterly defeated one another until all of them was completely destroyed and turned on each other. And the kings put, yeah.
No, I just was going to interject in that, because you kind of skipped over the fact that the king listened to the prophet. So God gave the prophet the word. He didn't give it to the king. And that shows you, like, the power in agreement. When we worship together, when we serve together, when we believe in the anointing of each other, how it empowers the position that you're in. So now he's the king. They're going to look to him if it don't work. They're not going to look to the prophet. The prophet went and told the king. But then the king said, believe the prophet and you shall succeed. So if God is talking to the prophet, then we got to believe what the prophet is saying so that we can succeed, and because we got to do what the prophet said. So it just shows the connection of the body working, you know, in one accord, being on one accord, believing and depending on each other and each other's anointing, because he obviously had all the power he needed because he was the king. And he didn't, you know, it didn't seem like here that he questioned the prophet. Nothing. The prophet went. The Lord told the prophet. The prophet came, told the king. The king went and told the people. And I just thought that was such a powerful example of the way that we should walk in harmony with one another. You know, depending on each other and not just ourselves or the position or the authority that we may have, but it takes all of it together to bring about God's plan of victory. I just want to share.
Amen. Amen. Anything, Apostle?
Here she comes.
I think it is interesting that in the battle wound, that praise didn't prevent the battle from happening. For me, I would have thought praise would have done something and we wouldn't have had to battle. But if I'm praise stirred up the battle, and it was in the midst of that God prevailed, made itself strong. And so, you know, there are different things that sometimes in our minds we think if you do this, then it won't happen. But for me, the opposite happened here, and he allowed it to happen so that his power could be seen through the midst of it. And so sometimes there is a need for warfare or praise to take place so that war can take place, so that God can prevail up in the midst of it.
Amen. 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 You know, even to add what Apostle said, you know, how praise interjected and directed what the battle was supposed to look like, you know, how often we gonna praise, but we coming in knowing how we gonna fight. You know, I'm gonna fight this, I'm gonna fight that, and but really allowing what praise to do is to direct how the battle is supposed to look. Because they had, you know, the prophet had declared that they wouldn't have no need to fight. But he did not declare that there would not be a fight. And so us understanding the power of what that looks like for our own lives, what that looks like for our families, what that looks like for our communities, what that looks like for those individuals who we are called to minister to within the sphere of our influence, what that looks like as we are in our mountain of influence, how does that look? What does that lens and picture look like for us? When overseers, you talked about power of agreement, how this one prophetic declaration changed the mindset of the king, because the king understood that there was a direction from the prophet, which gave him revelation on how to proceed forward. And so the scripture said, he began to say, now who are the people who say, you know, who are the ones that sing praises to the eternal one? Let's allow them to lead what this battle is going to look like, because we're still going to battle, but we don't have to fight. And I think that we have to learn that, what does that look like prophetically? What does that look like for us individually? What does that look like for us as a church when our position is still to be in battle, but how to fight is the most important thing so that we can know the divine plan and purposes of God. The scripture said that they were utterly defeated, turning on one another. When we talk about the distraction and the destruction of our enemies, there is a deliverance that happens where we do not see our enemy anymore. And so I am excited about that kind of place, that kind of liberation, that kind of freedom in our lives. And I think both of these are powerful lenses to look at when we don't see that enemy, because now he is, as an overseer said, a disciple. He is now part of that. It is part, or he is a part of the same kingdom in which we serve. Or then when we see that God destroys this enemy, but still allow us to live in the influence of their land. They began to take Mount Seir. They took the mountains from Ammon and Moab. The scripture said they were utterly destroyed. They began to take their goods. It was so much stuff. None of them escaped. And so now they are living in their sphere, in their mountain, in their influence. The wealth of the wicked was transferred into the kingdom, and they were able to possess those mountains that once was occupied by the Moabs, the Ammonites. And now we see Jehoshaphat, we see Jerusalem leading in those particular mountains. Well, it is 8 o'clock. We do appreciate the conversation. Thank you. Thank you for excavating and conversating with us about the oil of praise. Any final thoughts, words, and announcements, Overseer?
Well, you know, Prophet, I just wanted to add with the first scenario in the prison, but the fact that the enemy, the guards, were not the men, but it was the spirit in the man.
We have to learn
separate people from the spirit that's on them. And when you separate that through your praise, then you can see they really are brothers and your sisters. So many people we look at as enemy, we look at the person, but it's not the person, it's not flesh and blood, but it really, really is the spirit that's in them. And we have the power over that spirit through the blood and the authority of Jesus Christ. So I just rejoice in our time together, in our time on Sunday, hallelujah, and all of those things that the ministry is going to do in the coming weeks. There's no current announcement going forth. The pastor is saying no. So it's back in your hands, Prophet.
All righty. Again, thank you. Any last thoughts, revelatorial conversations, direction, Apostle?
She's saying
no.
All righty. No? Okay.
No. And we do welcome
all right. I'm sorry. You broke up over here.
I said we do welcome all those that did come online.
Amen. Okay. Well, God bless them.
So,
amen. Well, all right. Well, if anyone online who was here.
This Pastor Rogers, like, I'm asking for prayer for my sister Frances Burroughs.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. 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 And anyone that was online and joined us, if you have any last thoughts or comments, you can definitely do so at this time as well. All right. So let's pray for our Okay, I'm sorry about maybe there was someone. All right, let's pray for our sister. Sister, amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We do give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmness of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbre and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud-sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Father, we do give you praise. We thank you, Father. We thank you for who you are and all that you have done. We thank you for the oil of praise, for deliverance, prison doors opening, victory, and distraction and destruction of our enemies. Father, I come in agreement with my sister, and I thank you as we lift up her sister before you. We pray that you will go before her, make every crooked path straight and every rough place smooth. Father, we pray for your will to be released in and over her life according to your divine plan and purposes. We pray Jeremiah 29 and 11 over her. You said that you have thoughts towards her that are good and not evil, to give her future and a hope to bring her to and expect it in. Father, I thank you today for divine turnaround. I thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, dream, or even imagine. And so, Father, I pray today that as we lift up our sister before you, we pray that you would just cause divine healing to be released in her life, Father. And we thank you that your word said divine healing is a tribute to the direct plan and purpose of God. It is your intervention that doesn't even require our prayer, petition, or intercession. It is a respond to your divine timing that includes miracles, signs, and wonders. It cannot even be traced or explained. It is heaven invading our earth. And so we thank you for divine intervention over our sister life today. Thank you that there is an intercessor that is constantly praying for her, and his name is Jesus, that he is always at the right hand of the Father making intercession for her. And I thank you today for your divine timing being responded and released over her life and the miracles and the signs and the wonders that is following my sister prays. I thank you that as she prays you for her sister, thank you for what is going to be divinely turned around. Thank you for what is going to be released over her life. And then, Father, I pray for direct healing, Father. I pray for direct healing over our sister. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will do a new thing in her life. You will do a new thing in her body. And we thank you that Evangelist Dana, Lord God, is healed by your stripes. We pray direct healing over her. We thank you that you are going to target the enemies, the circumstances, the mountains, the oppositions, and the obstacles or the situation that has erected itself against the promise of God over her life. And so I thank you because she is a believer, a woman of faith, and she has prayed and petitioned you. She has decreed and declared. I thank you for heaven that is releasing angelic agents, earthly assistance, and provision for her to fulfill the kingdom mandate that you have done. I pray let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, we thank you for this prophetic healing. We pray, God, thank you for being a divine healer, the one who intercedes on our behalf. I know that you have thoughts towards us that are good and not evil. And today we confess that you have released over us your original plan for our lives. And we decree and divine, we decree a divine acceleration over the manifestation of that plan. And you are pressing us forward in our future. And we thank you for accelerating us. We thank you for what you're doing in us, through us, and for us. We thank you for this new year of amazement and awe. Keep us amazed. Keep us awe and awaken us, Father, like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Until we meet, look forward to what God's going to, how he's going to cause our mouths to drop on Sunday when we come together again. God bless you all. Amen. And have a great night.
Good night.
Amen.